So with that, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word. Jesus is God. We're reading from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And beginning at verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Heavenly Father, we just pray that for the remainder of this time, you would speak through this vessel, open up my heart, my mind, and my spirit to deliver what you wish, and open our ears, our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to receive all that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to cover all the way through 18, but just for the sake of time, I'm going to read it to you through the message. There are four Gospels given. Three of those, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called or referred to as synoptic Gospels. They are written of the same time periods in Jesus' life, but also in the same time period of their life. They have variances, but they're very similar in what they present. And then what they do is they give you stories, biblical stories from different perspectives or different perspectives of the same story, which is a real proof in the Word of God. But then there's John, the fourth gospel writer. And John is different. He doesn't write to the era. He writes to the era, but he doesn't write in the era of Jesus. He doesn't speak about his birth. Instead, he speaks when Jesus is 27 years old. And that's when John begins to speak about who Jesus is. John doesn't speak until he's in his 90s. The last books of the Bible written were written by John. Many of the others had been martyred away by that time. And he was suffered, and he was punished, and he was boiled in oil and all these things. But he lasted long enough to give us this precious word, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the book of Revelation. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jesus, for John. So, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Speaks to the deity of God. Speaks to the deity of Jesus. He doesn't have a mother per se. I mean, he has a mother, but he doesn't have a father per se. He has a biological mother. Yes. But before he was born, before he was incarnate, he was already present. Abraham said, or Jesus said about Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. Which speaks to the eternalness of who he is. What we get is we get Jesus incarnate, what we celebrate at Christmas time. The Word of God becoming man. We'll talk about that scripture in just a little bit. So we see Jesus in a physical sense. Some of you see him with the lamb around his shoulders, the beautiful picture, or the little children coming to him. Don't ever forget those pictures because it speaks to the tenderness, the kindness, and the love of Christ. But make no mistake, he was there in the beginning, at the very beginning. He was actually there before the beginning. He got a chance to experience no time and then stepped into time through his birth. It's a beautiful thing about God and how thorough and how complete he is to reach you and me with a love that we can't understand. So the Word, Jesus was the Word, the beginning was the Word. That word means logos in the Greek. And it gives you a little further definition of the word. And it's logic or reason. And that's exactly who he is. Jesus is the logic and the reason and the rationality in the beginning of all creation. He conceived it, thought it, spoke it, and it came about. All of creation. So when we hear about the Word, some people say, yeah, the Word, I know, but can't we hand out cotton candy and cookies to people? They might come to church. God forgive us for making light of this Word. I'm going to just say right now, I don't know of a day in modern times that has been so anti this Word of God as today. It is challenged on many fronts. It's appeased on lots of fronts for people to gain what they want to gain. But the reality is people that delve into this word are few. And there's a challenge for all of us to look into it because in it is life. And I'll get to that in just a little bit. And it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Word was with God. How does that even happen? We just sing that song, It's Your Breath. I wish I could remember the lyrics to the song. Gina, you can start singing right now. Where's Joel? Joel, he left. It's your breath in our lungs. And at creation, I want you to get a picture of the Father. As he speaks under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and the words that he speaks, I want you to imagine. Don't even imagine. I want you to know that the words that he speaks is Christ. And it is the Spirit or the breath that pushes out that word. And the Trinity is all present at creation. You've heard us say this 1,000 times. You'll hear it 1,000 more. But Jesus is that word. Yeah, I shared a scripture with you a little while ago about the out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the body acts. We praise and give glory to God. I want you to imagine out of the abundance of God, when he speaks, he creates. Out of the abundance of God, there's love, there's compassion, there's thought, there's reasoning, there's rationality beyond what we can imagine. And things come to be, and when they come to be, it is good. That's our God. We should be excited about him. And when he gives us an opportunity to know him deeper and to know him better, we should take that opportunity. Paul uses an example in how he came against Christians in his walk. And he said he did things out of ignorance. Okay? Sometimes we do things out of ignorance. But I'm challenging this whole group, myself included, let's get past ignorance. And let's get into understanding and let's begin to see God for who he is. The grandeur of who he is. The awesomeness of who he is. We have to get to that place. Otherwise, you don't go to him in your crisis. Because he's not big enough for your crisis. He's not big enough to take your sin. Unless you know him. When you know him, you say, oh my God, you are God. Oh, are you big? You can take my sin. You can take my junk. You can heal. You can restore because you are God. You speak and things happen. I love our prayer leaders in this church who pray on that premise and on that belief that God does what he says he will do. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And then the only thing I can share with you that makes sense to me, I had a hard time finding anything. How does it come across that he was with God and he was God? And what there is a real picture of the Trinity here at creation. When the Spirit hovers over the water, the Spirit is present. The breath of God is the Spirit of God. How can he be with God and be God? And honestly, for you mothers out there, you probably are the ones that can understand that concept better than anyone else. Because that was growing in you, was with you, and it was a part of you for a time. Then you birthed it. It's kind of a precious, precious thought. But it's only a thought, and it's only a lesson to teach us these greater truths. And the greater truths are Jesus was with him face to face in a real intimate way. Get a picture of Jesus and the Father face to face. We can't do that. We see God, we die. The reality of who he is and the reality of who we are, we die. But Jesus could see him face to face. So he was with God. But then it says he was. In essence, he was the very essence of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. So how do we know that Jesus is creator? Verse 3 tells us, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. All things. Pop in here a little bit. All things were made. Thank you, Jesus. I go to Genesis chapter 1. And when I go to Genesis chapter 1, I see John chapter 1 and Genesis 1 is pretty similar. Almost the same scripture. It says in the beginning, same word in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? You all know how he did it. He spoke it. He said, let there be light. Let there be heaven. Separate the waters from the dry land. Let there be vegetation, moon, stars, sea creatures, birds, living creatures, creeping things, all according to their kind. He spoke them into existence. And when he did, it was good. And then he says, let us make man in our image. So in the image of God, he made them male and female. And at the completion of that time, he said, it was very good. Everything he made was very good. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart of God is good. God is good. And what he speaks is good. What he creates is good. And that is our God. He is a good God. So I want you to imagine John, the apostle, trying to explain to us who this Jesus is. And I'm up here ranting and spitting all over the place. You guys can see that. I mean, you're flinching. Split, you know, because I get excited about it. But can you imagine John, who knew him intimately, the one who God loved? And he begins to speak about this Jesus and who he was. And Sally, I want to thank you for this, because you're the one that hit me with this, because you need to know him as me. But Sally is like, no. This Jesus, he is God, and he wants me to tell you about him. He loves you so desperately. He is all about you. And he is. And I get a tear coming down my cheek. Why didn't I see that? He's the Word of God. He is God. We need to know him, or boom, no. John is so excited to tell him. And he is operating in the perfect will of God to share who Jesus is. Because in him there is salvation. In him there is life. In here is there is the light of man. And he's sharing it with so much enthusiasm and love and compassion. He wants you to have that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Sally, for that insight. But he wants us to share just like that. And why don't we? Why don't we share like that? I am not kidding you. You have to know him, or your eternity is hell, and that's eternal. That is true. But there's not a whole lot of love in that statement. There is love in it, but it doesn't feel like love. No, John desperately wants us to tell. Jesus desperately wants us to tell of who he is, that people would come to him, because the only way is through him. So passionately, the Word of God prompts by the Spirit of God through the man that he created in the image of God to share with love who he is. Don't worry about how they receive it. It doesn't matter. They'll judge you. It doesn't matter. They'll ostracize you. It doesn't matter. It's like nobody says that they're for Donald Trump because they don't want to go through the pressure of the things coming against them. I don't want to share everything about Jesus because of the pressures coming against me. What people will say about me if I say I believe in Jesus. They'll say to me something like, where's the science? Honestly, where's the science? He created the science. He is all about science. Tune into the Genesis Project, right, Melissa? You'll find all the science you need. You'll get excited about it because it's truth. But who cares? They're accepting what I say isn't, it's not my business. Can I tell them because God loves them? Can I cultivate a heart for them that I could love them? And share, hey, I got something for you. This is incredible. But through him, it doesn't matter about your past. Through him, it's all about your future and about your present. Can you tell them that? Tell them that. Tell the people you know that. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Jesus. John 6:63, he says, the words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And the words I'm speaking to you by the power of the Holy Spirit are spirit, and they are life. And that has to be conveyed to those who don't know. And he's called us to do that. That's where he gets his glory. And the wisdom of God is pure. It says in James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Yeah, Jesus is the eternal word with God and is God. His word is eternal. His promises are eternal. His love is eternal. And he desires you eternally to be with him and me. Well, then, I have three witnesses to this whole thing about Jesus. And the first one is from Jesus himself in John 14, 7. Jesus said, "If you had known me, you would know the Father also. And from now on, you know him, you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father." The two are one. "He who has seen me has seen the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Do you know that when you come to Christ, it's going to tell us this in a later verse, God sets up his tabernacle, his temple. You become it, and he lives in you. And we get a little bit of the understanding of him and me. It comes about because for a moment, I open up my heart to invite him into me. And I'm in him. But we're flesh, and we're blood, and we struggle, and we don't grow maybe as much as we should. But to always have the understanding that he is dwelling in me, and he desires to be in fellowship and intimacy with me and with you. People don't know this. People, because if they knew it, it would affect change in them. Jesus. So Jesus says that he and the Father are one. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says it. And it says that he's also creator. And he says, God at various times, this is verse Hebrews 1:1. At various times and in various ways, spoken times past to the fathers by the prophets. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding, you heard that verse today when the Spirit was speaking, upholding all things by the word of his power. And then down in verse 4, it says, having become so much better than the angels as he has by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. Why? Because angels are created. He is the creator of them. He is not creative. He is eternal. Wow, there's just so much here. He is eternal. He is creator. He is one with the Father. He is God. And we see that two witnesses agree. Here's the third witness. Paul says in Colossians 1:15, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, the visible things and the invisible things. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So you have the writer of Hebrews, you have Jesus himself, and now you have Paul, who is one of my favorite apostles, speaking this about who Jesus is. Do you see him as one with the Father? Do you see him as God? That's a question you have to ask yourself right where you're sitting. Do you see Jesus as God? Or have you made him so little that he cannot really affect change in your life? I have to ask myself that question all the time. Am I making God little here? Usually I am. And then as I work through it and he touches my heart or my mind or my spirit, I grow past it. I get past me, and I get to him, and I grab peace. He pours peace. Did you guys ever watch any of the Chronicles of Narnia? Or read the book? In Prince Caspian, there's a picture of Lucy. She's the youngest of the three siblings that go on this journey to find God. They don't know what they're going for. They're just on a journey. And there's a picture of it right there. Lucy's having a dream. That's the girl in that picture. And the lion represents Jesus, Aslan. Aslan is Jesus in this movie. And she wakes up from the dream and she sees him after not seeing him for a while. And she looks at him and she says to him, "You're bigger. You've grown. And Aslan, who's playing Jesus, says, No. Why? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't grown. He says, "But you have grown. And when you grow, I get bigger. When you grow, I grow." To me, this was such a powerful point, because if I don't grow in him, he never gets big enough to take care of my need. When I don't grow in him, he's never big enough to really take away my sin, so I walk in it. When I don't grow in him, he becomes smaller and smaller. But the reality is, when I grow in him, there is nothing he can't do. When I grow in him, he lights me up, and I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the battle of the ages, I believe, for the church, to believe truly who Jesus is, not to allow him to become small, but allow him to grow in you so you can see more and more the vastness and the greatness and the eternalness of who he is. In Jesus' name. Next thing is, Jesus is life, and he is life. We know that he's the creator. We know that he's one with the Father. We know that he's God, but he is also life and life. In verse 4a, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The illumination light of men at creation. You see a little baby created in the image of God, and you see the glory of it. And you can't help but get excited about that vision that was once one with its mother. And you see the glory of the birth process. He is in that. And what happens to those babies if their life is extinguished or if they die? Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God." He has got them. My mistakes that I've made in life and decisions to give over money for somebody to take a life, maybe a woman's decision that was so hard to take a life, that life is okay. Those belong to him, those lives. Doesn't make it right. And what it really means is, I need forgiveness. People need forgiveness for the mistakes we've made. And this is how cool God is. When he forgives you, he takes that sin is and removes it from you as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers it against you no more. And my word to you is, if that's you and you've been in that place, remember it against yourself no more, because he's taken it. And you thank him for it. And you praise him for it, because that's what we ought to do. Jesus said in John 10:10, Jesus said this, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." There is no life truly apart from God. True life. Eternal life. He conquered death. He is life. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In John 8:12, it says, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of man." Follow him. He is light. You're safe in following him. Follow and walk in the light of Christ. And don't fear the darkness, because the darkness can't comprehend the light. It can't extinguish the light. It can't come against the light. The light pushes out the darkness. We could have a bright sunny day and somebody strike a match and it was a dark match. And it wouldn't show us anything, would it? Light covers it. But I could shut off every light. And you remember that thing that Pastor James did with that fluorescent suit that lit up like a beacon and a symbol? That was reflected light. But I light one little match if with every light out in this place, and you're going to all see it. I was watching the stars the other night, and I was really impressed with this one star. I'm thinking, what is that? Is that a, wow, I can see it. It's 36,000 feet up. I know what it is. It's an airplane going like this all the way across the sky. It's just that one little light, and I could see it from 36,000 feet away in a dark sky. Thank you, Jesus. He is the light. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world." He's calling us to be lights. Why? That's what gives him glory. We are the light of the world. Why? He dwells in us. In my temple dwells the Spirit of God. And out of the abundance of that comes forth light. And it should, unless I get in the way. And I'm to let my life shine, my light shine. We all are. What I'm doing right now, this very minute, what I'm doing right now is letting my light shine. And what am I doing? I'm listening to the Spirit of God as he speaks through me. And really, I am nothing but a vessel. I am an empty flashlight, and he's the batteries, and he's putting out the light. And that's what we're called to do. Be light. You ever come across somebody that's so filled with the light of God that you just feel good being in their presence? You just want to be around them all the time. I'm going to sit next to them. And if you're a sour, angry puss, you just might say, get away from me. You're driving me nuts. I can't stand to be around you. That would just be the guilt and conviction of their soul. It's also the Holy Spirit saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Quit telling me you're here. I'm here, I'm here. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I desperately love you. And they'll get that from him through us as we are the light of the world. We're also salt. We're the flavor of the world. We're tasteful. We're good. Be salt and be light. Jesus. He spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In Psalm 19:1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament the work of his hands. That is our job. We are supposed to declare the glory of God. Don't leave it up to the heavens and creation. He made us to be that which would communicate the light and the life and the glory of God. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, overcome it, or extinguish it. Just want to remind you that God is sovereign over the darkness. God is sovereign. The biggest things that frighten us or come against us are little for God. We have to understand his sovereignty even over the darkness. You'll look in our bulletins, you'll see that we have platforms of politicians. You should read those. Take a look at them. It says what one group stands for, what the other group stands for. Oh, but Pastor Mike, you don't know what's happening. You got to watch this because it's telling us everything that's going on. Don't worry about it. Do your part. Do your voting. Share Jesus. You're good. But you don't understand. This is bad stuff. This is deep. This is dark. Of course it is. We're in a dark world. But yeah, but it doesn't overtake you. It doesn't overcome you. Now, if you focus on it, you give it power. Don't focus on it. The darkness cannot comprehend the light, and it can't extinguish it, and it can't overcome it. We have to know how big God is. We have to know how big God is. I want to grow. Aslan, you're bigger. Jesus. In Psalm 119:105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Stay on that path. Stay on the path of growing in him. Seems real simple, doesn't it? I'm saying it like I got it all figured out. Believe me, I struggle with everything I've told you. I struggle with myself, just like you do. But I am getting old, and I'm starting to say, you know, I'm tired of taking a beating. This is kind of working. When, you know, when I'm here, it's all good. When I'm here, it's really good. When I'm over here, come back. And then there's a man. God loves to use people. He loves to use you. He loves to use me. He loved using the disciples, and he loved using this particular man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this isn't John the apostle. This is John the Baptist. This man came for a witness to bear witness to the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives to every man coming into the world. Remember what I said about the babies? They're born with that light. He gives that as a gift. He gives many gifts. God has given us plenty of gifts. But he gives us, and it's within us when we're in him, to shine forth. And John said, this is the one. And even John had his doubts. He saw the heavens open up and the Spirit of God allow a dove to descend upon him. Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John was a witness to that. He said, I am not worthy to baptize you. You should be baptizing me, as Jesus is fulfilling all the things he needed to fulfill. Pretty cool, huh? I'll go a little quicker. I see some eyes dozing here. He's the true light. He was to bear witness to the light. We are to bear witness to that same light. In God, there's no darkness in him at all. Beware, there's no darkness in him at all. Do not be deceived. If somebody speaks one thing against your Savior, against the Lord, our God, against the Father, there is no darkness in him. When people say things like, how can a loving God allow innocent people to die? First and foremost, there's no innocent people. And second of all, he's got it figured out. He's got it covered. We think in physical terms. He thinks in eternal and spiritual terms. God knows more than I know. How could he let my dad die at age 65? My dad was a decent guy. My dad was a decent guy, but he wasn't perfect. But he had God in him. Well, how could you let him die if you had him in you? He says, because it was time for me to have him. And he took him. He got to be with my dad. And he says, while I'm doing that, I'm working something out in you. Put some emphasis and some focus on your kids. Well, they all get married and they leave me. That hurts. Okay, go visit them. See the grandkids. I got something for you to do, but I'm in this. Our God is big. He's got it all worked out. He thinks of it all. In the beginning, before Genesis, Jesus is full of glory with the Father and the Spirit. We know that he's creator. Jesus. Jesus is sovereign. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And yet, with all that, his own did not receive him. Do you know who his own are? Some of you do. His own are Israel, and his own are those who have come to the knowledge of God. And the sad thing that breaks my heart is those who were supposed to receive him and those who know to receive him have rejected him. Right now, I said earlier on that this is the greatest day that I'm aware of for the church. As things get shaken, we are seeing who is with God and who's running to the shiny things, looking and scrambling for something else. We have to stay grounded in him, growing in him, because we see how big he is and that he's over it and he has control of it. He doesn't fret. He doesn't worry. And when I do in my flesh, I have to remember who he is. And if I'm not growing in him, I can't remember who he is. It doesn't come to me as quick as to what he can do for me and how he helps me through and how he loves to help me through. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then it goes in verse 16. I'm moving ahead here quicker. In verse 16, it says, and of his fullness, we have all received grace for grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. I don't want to have to be responsible for anything. I want his grace. And the only thing I want to be responsible for, honestly, is to receive his grace. And the grace comes into me to change me, to work me, to mold me, to fashion me into what he has called me to be. It's grace that gives me gifts to reach out to others. How about that worship we had today? Was God not pouring out grace? And has not God poured out grace in the past of these worshipers today that led us? And what's the grace for? He gives more grace so we can give him glory, so we can give him praise, so we can give him honor, grace and grace, so we can say, look what the Lord has done. Look what he has done. Look what my Jesus has done. Look what he will do for you. He's given us gifts. First, he gives us grace for salvation. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, it says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he gives us his Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit so we can make a decision for him. Because the Bible says that apart from the Spirit, you can't even call upon his name. You can't call upon God apart from God's Spirit. And when the Spirit moves, we should respond. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Why does he say that? Because the Spirit may not be moving the same way as it did the last time. Or it may a little bit less, and a little bit less, and a little bit less. And before you know it, you are hard, cold, stone-hearted, and not able to receive anything. He gives us grace for salvation. And he gives us the grace of the Holy Spirit. He gives us many gifts. Like I said, you saw some of the gifts up here before, but he gives us gifts. And he says we should desire all the gifts. Come here on a Monday night, you'll see the gifts in operation, and that's just starting out. It's going to grow as people operate in the gifts of God. And if you don't have any gifts, he says you should desire them. How do you get them? You ask for them. He's a good, good father. Would he give you a serpent or a stone? Would a good father give his son a serpent or stone? Of course not. Would God? No, he gives good gifts, especially with the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Well, I kind of heard you up there, and you were going blah, 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 and something I didn't understand. Yeah, it's one of my most favorite things. I pray more now in the Spirit than I do in the understanding. My praying in the understanding has too much of me in it. My praying in the Spirit is all the Holy Spirit praying on my behalf. It's a gift of God, so he gives me the Holy Spirit. All I had to do was ask, Holy Spirit, come in, fill me. Come in, baptize me. I want to speak in other tongues. I want to prophesy. I want to give a word of knowledge. I want to lay hands on the sick and watch them be healed. I want those gifts. Why? Because he wants me to have those gifts. Why does he want me to have those gifts? So I can operate in his power with those gifts. And I am really going to pick up the pace here for you a little bit. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Of all the gifts that he's given us, stand up. Just stand up right where you're at. If you know that you have received gifts from God of some sort. Everybody, if you can't stand, I understand that. But if you know that God has given you gifting. Gifting, you heard some of what I said. The gift of prophecy, to foretell of what's coming or to speak with boldness the words of God to others. That's prophecy. If you can speak in other tongues, it's just a gift of tongues. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. He gives you that. A word of knowledge. You hear people give that every Sunday when they share. And it seems like, why are they talking? Because the Spirit of God is moving upon them and he's given them something to share for all of us. They're beautiful. Apostolic gifts like Tim Kelly going out to unreached people groups. And Jason Witt and our other missionaries going out. They have these apostolic gifts in them. And some have it so strong and so powerful because they continue to ask for more and ask for more. For what purpose? To serve God, to give him glory, to love God. Keep standing so you know what I'm feeling. But there's other gifts. There's gifts that nobody seems to really value quite the same as those fivefold office gifts. But there's gifts of hospitality. There's gifts of discernment where you can read somebody and you know their heart. And when they're sharing something with you, you can look into them and you see there's something more going on. They're hurting. They're deeply hurting. When you have that gift, you can reach out and help somebody. Ask for that gift of discernment. We got some amazing people in this church that discern so well that I'm going to go the other way. They're going to tell me something about me I don't want to know. They know. It's not that bad. They know. And they use it for the glory of God and the help of the brothers and the sisters in the faith. Jesus, if you do not have a gift, you ask God for it. If you have one or two gifts, you ask him for more. Ask him for more. I want to see people get healed in this church. People have been healed in this church, by the way. But I want us to pray with a confidence that says, in the name of Jesus, that which is coming against this person right here, it'd be gone in Jesus' name. I call it to leave in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come to this place and restore this person in the way that you created them to be. Restore them to the fullness of that and use them for your glory. Here's the biggest miracle. Holy Spirit, change their heart. Holy Spirit, change my heart. That's the greatest miracle of all, a changed heart.